Hello, it's Wednesday, the 24th of April. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and I've sampled 25 wines while running to the studio. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review, where we turn our back on the tedium of everyday life and goggle instead at the madness of the news, the trends, the whims and fancies of the UK press. Where else will you find in-depth pieces on Britain's hardest psycho seagull and the joy of pegging? And if you like what we do, then why not send a message to three of your friends with a link to papercutshow.co.uk and tell them why you like us. Let's see if they subscribe. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Small boats, big problem. Five people die crossing the channel yesterday. What is Rishi doing about it? Rappers defight. There's trouble brewing between Drake and Kendrick and the world is eating popcorn. And boys to men. Women are wondering, why are men so odd? Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we'll release our diss track when we're good and ready. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is Podmaster's managing editor and occasional champagne pappy, it's Jacob Jarvis. Hi, Jarv.
Hello, mate.
And also with us is comic writer and regular Kung Fu Kenny, it's Jason Hazley. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Just called you Ken.
Hi, Bobs.
So, what have we got on the front pages today? Okay, what have you got there, Jarv?
So the Times has a lot on the front page today. The biggest headline being UK to spend more on defence. Rishi Sunak says he will boost funding to 2.5% of GDP as he puts forces budget on war footing. Then also got a big photo of a dinghy crossing the channel. That's around the story, child among five killed in channel dinghy accident. Then up top is just a classic Strange Times sort of stuff. Like father, like son, don't count on it, suggest scientists. And that supermarkets are apparently where you can buy cool clothes now. So
we didn't know this already.
It's got it all there. Then the Guardian, PM to raise defence spending and puts arms industry on war footing. Again, about the pledge to up spending to 2.5% of GDP. The Daily Telegraph does much the same, war footing as PM ramps up defence spending. It's a lot of this is focusing around this quote, around war footing, because clearly they...
But we're not on a war footing, are we?
It's Rishi Sunak doing, you know, he does these relaunches of himself constantly, and he would like to kid us that he's tough. And then... The Eye. Tories unveil UK's biggest hike to military spending for a generation. So they've taken that big dramatic story and made it Eye-style boring, but maybe a little bit more straightforward and appropriate, which makes some sense.
Okay. What do you have, Jason?
Oh, we're over here in the fun department. The Mirror has an exclusive from someone who says they can identify the person who killed Jill Dando, which is a ruthless Serbian called Milorad Ulemek.
They have a witness.
They have a witness. But this is 25 years ago, so it seems very strange that this is suddenly coming out of the woodwork again.
Yep.
It is one of the oddest stories. For anybody who doesn't know who Jill Dando is, look it up, because it's just so... It was such a bizarre killing at the time. The Daily Mail has biggest boost for defence in a generation, same story again, and along with every other tabloid, it has a picture of Prince Louis at the top. It's a sort of official portrait has been released, and he looks absolutely delightful. The Sun has that again with picture perfect, Kate's birthday photo of smiling Louis.
And not altered. The big deal is that Kate took the photo, it's not altered.
Yes, and Hooray. The Sun even says this at the bottom, no Photoshop required. And over in the Star, or at least the parallel universe that the Star is set in, there's an awful lot going on the front page today, as there always is. Thought for the day, tough on slime, tough on the causes of slime. This is a reference to their big lead story. The headline is, Kim Jong-un's favourite imperialist launches war on slugs. This is Alan Titchmarsh has revealed he does not share the Daily Star's love of slugs. Prizes for anybody who can work out what's going on there. There's also a tremendous one up in the earpiece with the headline, Unexpected Judge in the Bagging Area, which is a reference to the idea that Nightingale courts, because the court system is in such backlog, and that's basically because the government have sold off tons and tons of court property, there are thoughts now to put courts temporarily in places like supermarkets, libraries and pubs, which is, of course, pubs is where courts always used to be before the court system came about.
I quite like the idea that the judge is in the bagging area, though.
Yeah.
Okay, Jov, I feel like we should perhaps have a quick look at that really sad story about there was a boat that came over from France to Britain yesterday, one of the small boats, and five people died, including a seven-year-old girl. It seems weird to me, I mean, I don't, I'm maybe being cynical, that suddenly the small boats are back on the front pages of the papers.
It's seemed to be linking around the timing of the Rwanda bill passing through Parliament, which Sunak's whole point of that is saying that it will deter small boats. And clearly, it hasn't worked immediately in deterring small boats, which you know, we might not be fair to imagine it would. But my extension of logic there being, I don't think it is going to deter small boats. That's constantly been the suggestion of it. So the focus is going back on this because clearly we've seen this is a plan that everyone has seemed to say will not work. He's constantly insisting it will. And there is this quote around this when he was asked around the death saying, well, this is why we need the Rwanda plan, because it's, he suggests it is compassionate to stop these small boats, but it's just not workable. And I don't believe that the deterrent of being sent to Rwanda, if you are prepared to take a journey where the risk is death, I'm not really sure that any kind of deterrent there is working. So yeah, that's why this whole focus has gone around this, because Rishi Sunak has staked so much of his political collateral around doing this and it working. And everyone is just saying it's not going to work. And immediately there are images and horrific situations showing that, yes, it's not working.
Now, there is a piece in The Guardian that examines a huge story that's got everyone talking across the globe. As I'm sure you all know, Jason, the past few weeks have seen quite the tit-for-tat row between big names in US rap. Drake, J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar are lining up against each other, releasing diss tracks and calling each other names.
Ooh, yes.
Get them. And other artists have become involved too, including ASAP Rocky, The Weeknd and Rick Ross. So, Jarve, what has been going on?
Right, what's been going on? Let me try and dive into this. There's basically been a bit of long-standing beef, let's say, which makes me sound really old saying that word, but between Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
Yeah.
And then J. Cole is also involved around this. J. Cole's a little bit in the middle because there were rumours in the past that J. Cole and Kendrick were going to work together on an album, that they even recorded songs together, but that didn't come to fruition. But Drake and J. Cole did do a song together. And in this song, they suggest that both of them and then Kendrick are the big three in the rap game of 2024, as it were. And Kendrick has then come back and essentially said, no, I'm the big one. You don't get to be a big three because I'm just better than both of you.
He says, I'll quote, but I won't quote at all. It's on a track on an album called We Don't Trust You by Future, produced by Metro Boomin. And the quote is, motherfuck the big three. It's just big me. There you go.
He seems very very self-assured and confident, doesn't he?
Yes, it's unusual for a rapper.
He is, but then one of the interesting things about it is Kendrick does this all on guest tracks because his albums, they're these big art pieces and he wouldn't lower himself to diss-tracking people on his own actual track. So then after this, J. Cole has come out and he's done a bit of a track which seems to diss Kendrick, but then he's reeled back on that really, really fast and gone, no, I didn't mean it that way. And
yeah,
then
he got upset about it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was so, like, genuinely, like, it said he kept him up awake at night. So he released this diss track and then thought, oh no, what have I done? So now he's like out of the game. But then, J. Cole is gone. He's out of the fight.
Yeah, but his diss track as well is just sort of recounting Kendrick's career and being relatively complimentary, saying your first shit was classic, your last shit was tragic. Your second shit put people to sleep as they gassed it. Mm. Your third shit was massive, and that was your prime. Yeah. And it's like, okay, fair enough. That's a kind of a solid review of Kendrick Lamar's career. Which although you've been quite nice about him for.
We could say that the second shit, as he called it, was To Pimp a Butterfly, which is like amazing.
But so I'm in this rabbit hole now. So that is because the diss track isn't, the art of the diss track isn't always saying what you think. The art of the diss track is saying what will gain you traction.
Or what other people
and
think.
And what other people think. So there's been this sort of narrative around that To Pimp a Butterfly was a little bit boring. So he knew that would get him loads of traction. But then it got too much traction. He's backtracked on it. So loads of people have got involved. Drake has then had a leak of a track, Push Ups, where he then speaks about Kendrick in it, and then now Rick Ross is doing a song called Champagne Moments where he has a go at Drake and talks about ghostwriters. The Rick Ross one does sound quite impressive, that I think he just basically saw these diss tracks happen and he was just like,
I'm gonna
fuck
do
it,
one.
I'm going to the studio now and I'm going to diss you both because I've been at it for a long time. So then now Drake has made this tailor-made freestyle, which is another track suggesting that Kendrick is not retorting to any of the, it gets very confusing at this point. People are thinking some of the songs are AI. People are thinking an AI song which has come out. Then there were questions over whether Drake's Push-Ups was AI, but then people were like, no, Drake's just maybe not that good a rapper, so he can sound like AI. Then the Kendrick one came out and everyone went, well, no, this doesn't sound like Kendrick, he's too good. So the be-all and end-all of it seems to be that Kendrick Lamar probably is the best rapper around, and Drake's kind of
embarrassing
as ever. Yeah, a little bit embarrassing. But yeah, Jason, do you understand this now?
Well, it reminds you very much. It reminds you very much of when Brahms called Tchaikovsky a giftless bastard.
That is actually one of the rhymes, but then he struggled to rhyme bastard with anything, so it sort of it sells the track when a little bit low there.
Now, in The Independent, there's an interesting piece by Helen Coffey, who is rapidly becoming a Paper Cuts regular, about, quote, the curse of the boy room. Jason, what is this piece about?
Right, well, this is about boy rooms, which are bedrooms of grown men that look like they belong to teenagers. Because Helen went back to a nice young man's house and he said, yeah, sorry, I don't actually have a bed. Is that okay?
Unbelievable.
She said that when dating in her 20s, this kind of student aesthetic is okay, but now she's in her 30s, she's beginning to go, this isn't on, guys. You really ought to be living better than
find
this.
Find a pillowcase.
Find a pillowcase. Mm. And there is a comedian called Rachel Costa who's been doing bits about the boy room, and the list of things... It does not make for very hygienic reading. The guy who's got a suitcase for a bedside table... The one with his own name graffitied on the wall. Wow.
That's like a 12-year-old.
And the one with his old rat tail proudly displayed in a frame.
Oh. There's a lot of kind of like everything in clip frames, an IKEA Billy bookcase, which I get, you know, everybody
which
has that.
Which is fair enough, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. But, and there's no laundry basket, all the clothes are all over the floor, pizza crusts everywhere. I mean, it's a bit grim, really.
That TikToker is worth a watch, though. She's quite good. Sort of boy room TikToks, they're good. Yeah, the rat tail is quite invested. Mm. It's like really in a sort of deep frame, so there's some sort of modern art piece. You could see it in White Cube. Then, well, that's the thing, look, Tracy Emin did My Bed and everyone said it was amazing, so maybe rat tail.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's where he's going. I don't know.
This is a nice line. I once dated a man who dried up his cutlery and crockery using his T-shirt, the same one he was wearing.
You see, the thing is, I think I've probably done that.
I had a group of friends who had one fork between three of them.
Oh, that's
in a shared house, which was great. And they had to sort of wait for the fork.
Oh, that is so pathetic.
I went over there once and I had a McDonald's and I asked, where can I put my rubbish? And my mate was just like, I'll just throw it on the floor. And I was going, I just said, no, I'm not going to litter in your living room. But they just didn't care. The bin was fucked. It was completely stacked. That was a very strange house.
So she does say that there's a kind of two types of boy rooms. So there's this type, which you've just described, which is just appalling mess. Or there's kind of like a psycho's room, which is like an anonymous cube. There's nothing on the walls or surfaces, no books, no knickknacks, anything, nothing with personality. I imagine it with an LED lighting as well, you know, those kind of strip lights.
Now, it does remind me of that line. Who was it who said, if you go on a date with someone and you go back to their place and they haven't got any books, don't fuck them?
Yeah.
But now, what about if they've got Kindle?
You'd have to have a look through it first, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you just flip through.
You go and find the fork, I'll look through the Kindle.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that feature is the kind of feature that makes women think men are quite odd and they don't make perhaps enough effort to, you know, entice young ladies into their world.
Yeah.
Allied to this, we have found an interesting story in the Metro. This is a different approach to ladies. It is a note that somebody found on a bench, a handwritten note in Sheffield, and it was addressed to females only. Jason, what did this note say?
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Shall I try a Sheffield accent?
Yeah, just think jar.
If you're female and up for some fun, no strings, sit on the bench next Saturday, 8:20 a.m. I'll walk past and say morning. If you like what you see, ask me if I have the time. If I like what I see, I will say it's time to finger you.
This is the best ever.
The verb finger has not been out in the open for a while, has it?
It's everything about this. This kept me laughing for the whole of yesterday. It's just the detail. It's the fact that he's written it down and put it on the particular bench. It's the fact that he's saying Saturday at 8:20 a.m.
It's so early for a fingering.
It's so early for a fingering. And also the fact that you have to ask him, what, you know, what time is it? And he goes, it's time to finger you.
Just finger is so infantile. It's just so, it's just not a sexy thing to do.
I am using this at all times. Yeah. So if people ask me the time, I'm just going to say that. It's 1:40 and it's time to finger you. You can use it at any time. Anyway, we don't know if this has been a successful chat-up line.
Well, it would be great, wouldn't it, if that he was walking past the bench at 8:20 a.m. and there were about 15 women there. I mean, I'm sure this is going to happen. You know,
it's good
now that
happen.
This has made the press.
He just goes, I don't have enough fingers. <There's
15 women. laughs> One at a time.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim. Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch,
yeah.
We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, it's time for our daily celebration of the subs, our salutation of their skills and praising of their puns as we take a look at today's best headlines. Jarv, what do you have?
So page 7 in the Sun, there is a story about Hollywood actress Sydney Sweeney, who just loves hanging out in Hawaii, apparently. Yeah, the 26-year-old Euphoria star went for the double denim look by wearing double denim. They didn't describe her wearing double denim after saying that. And then there's a shot of her... she's wearing double denim. You just told me that. But she hangs upside down from the door frame of her convertible Jeep Wrangler and stars upside down. Upside down is what they're going for there. But
upside.
Yeah, upside down.
Yeah. Yeah. They just want a nice story about Sydney.
Well, they just wanted
breasts.
To be able to put pictures of Sydney Sweeney in there. So it's, fair enough there. And then on Sun page 6, there's a very small story, a little nib here. Cops will use drones to monitor tens of thousands of tourists packing the beaches at Brighton each weekend this summer. Really small story. It doesn't explain why they're going to do that, but they're going to. Beside the sea spied.
Nice.
That's quite okay. Cute. Okay, Jason, what do you have?
Well, got the Daily Star, page 8. A top confectionery firm has won a £470,000 tax fight after a judge agreed that marshmallows are not sweets.
Oh, I'm shocked. Oh. What are
so
they?
So what are they?
They are ingredients for cooking on a barbecue.
What?
Is what Innovative Bites Limited argued.
Right, okay.
It means it saves them a load of VAT, basically, is what it is. Anyway, the headline is, Chew What?
Very true.
Not bad. Now then,
marshmallow tax fraud is.
Yeah, it's like the Jamie Dodgers thing,
isn't it? Not fraud, tax evasion.
Meanwhile, on page 15 of the Daily Star, there is this story which got quite a bit of traction yesterday of this guy, Matt Barr, who appeared on This Morning to talk about his book, A Long Story, which is about his having the biggest penis in Britain.
Mm.
I'm not sure how he knows that, but never mind.
Guinness Book of Records, I imagine.
Guinness Book of Records, yes. My 12-inch willy makes life hard, and there's a picture of Matt looking sad, which cuts off at his waist. Anyway, the headline for this is, "What's up, cock?" But they've outdone themselves because on the front page of the Star, they've got the same photo of sad Matt with the headline, "Why the schlong face?"
That's a genius one.
And finally, on page 11 of the Star, grieving people should try to contact lost loved ones through a medium, a top psychologist has claimed. Or a boffin, in fact. Top boff, talking to ghosts, good for you. Mm. And this is all under the headline, "Well Spooken."
Very good. Now, once we've done with the serious stories about war, rap beefs, and when is the correct time to finger you... Sorry.
Stop. It's finger time.
Now is the
answer. We like to luxuriate in the features section. And in The Independent, we found an interesting little piece about tribute bands. Tribute bands are having a bit of a heyday, Jason.
Yeah, well, so Robin Wilson's written this piece, and it's because the O2 Brixton Academy reopened last week, and onto the stage came Nirvana UK and the Smiths with a Y. So tribute bands are doing well because basically you can afford to go and see them, seems to be the bottom line here.
Yeah.
The Smiths with a Y are playing Shepherd's Bush Empire, the Electric Ballroom in Manchester, Cardiff Tramshed, Newcastle City Hall, and Manchester's Ritz. So, you know...
These are quite big
they're
places.
They're big venues.
Yeah. Yeah, and also it's like big enough for it to be a laugh... Yep. But not like an arena and you've paid like £120 and you're still miles away. So that's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've looked up lots of different names for tribute bands, haven't we?
We have, because this is where the fun is.
Yes, it is. OK, so obviously the Bootleg Beatles. We know about them. Then there's one for you, Jarve.
So we've got Pearl Scam.
Yes, you're excited about them, aren't you?
Because I think it's you can afford to go see these bands with a little bit of irony to it. And I find going to gigs now, unless I really want to go, probably not going to go because gig tickets have just never seemed to be less than £40. And I have to think, oh, I have to actually quite like them to do that. Whereas if it's about £20 and I can go see a cover band play some Pearl Jam songs, but I don't care if they're a bit crap. Whereas if you go see the real thing and they're not great.
Yeah, you're going to be sad.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a really good one for Coldplay and their name is Cold Place.
Is that good?
I think it's good because it's so bad.
There's a venue in Walthamstow that used to host loads of tribute bands. And so when you go past there, you could always see there were adverts up for there was a band called Are We Them?
Oh, that's
R-E-M.
Good.
R.E.M. Yeah, there was No Oasis, who were
good.
An Oasis tribute band.
Yeah. There's a few of those.
Yeah.
There's one called Definitely Oasis and one called, it's going to be hard to say, but it looks good written down, Oasis.
That works,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I was in a writing room with Charlie Skelton once and we were trying to come up with a tribute band name and he came up with Genesis and... Isn't that brilliant? And someone, I don't know who it was on Twitter, said, I hope the English teacher are around long enough to get a tribute band because they can be called Supply Teacher.
I just want to tell you about the time that I have actually had close contact with somebody that likes to impersonate. That's a very famous person. So when my son was 5, him and his friend were really into Michael Jackson and we hired a Michael Jackson lookalike. He was really expensive. It was £200 and he'd only do 2 songs for £200. And if you wanted to do another one, you had to pay him another £30. Anyway, so we'd done that.
A smooth criminal.
Exactly. So he came up. We were in a Brixton kind of church hall. There was about 40 kids going completely mad. And he was late, which was not good. And he turned up. He's from Essex. His name was Wayne. He wasn't black. And he was dressed in kind of, you know, the single glove era of Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah.
So the party, I have to say, wasn't going that well. It was completely mental. And he walked in and it was amazing. Hmm. And he did the dance and he showed them the dance and they thought he was absolutely fantastic. He was a complete diva.
Wow. Could he moonwalk?
Yeah, well, better than me. But I mean, yeah, I mean, he was a complete diva and, you know, complained about the food.
He had a dressing room.
Like, this is a kid's birthday, mate. And then the kids liked him so much, I had to cough up more money so he would do one more song.
Could have been worse. You could have hired Blobby Williams. Apparently that's a real tribute act. My favourite was the ABBA tribute act called the Bjorn Identity.
Amazing.
And allegedly there's an elbow tribute act called Arse.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Jarve.
Thank you very much.
And thanks to Jason.
Thanks.
Remember, if you fancy listening to the show with no ads and with a special extra story, then why not join the Paper Cuts Supporters Club? Go to back.papercutsshow.com. The link is in the show notes. Before all our supporters get a special shout out, we just want to say we made a little bit of a mistake about the name of Doreen Lawrence the other day. We called her Denise instead of Doreen, and we're sorry about that. Anyway, let's go to our supporters. They all get a special shout out. Jarve, who do you have?
Hi, and thank you for the music, Vic.
And hi, and thank you for Let Me Be Myself Again to Jonathan Gates.
Hi, and thank you, next, Mehul Shah. I've been Miranda Sawyer, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when the Mail revealed that the police are after thieves who stole £134,000 worth of Kinder Bueno bars. They had a lead, but unfortunately, no bueno. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer, with Jacob Jarvis and Jason Hazley. The producer was Liam Tate, with assistant production by Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams, and socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison, the managing editor was Jacob Jarvis, and the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.